Rejoice. That's what we are called to do. And you know it works better if you do it with a smile on your face? It does. It works better with the smile. Because then everybody else knows that you are rejoicing. You could be doing it. I've been told that many times. Why aren't you smiling? Well, I am smiling. How can you tell that? Well, especially with these masks, you can't tell if anyone's smiling anymore. You have to look at their eyes and actually determine it. And I pray that that's what you are doing, and that things are, it's just amazing what we can do. Amen? Amen. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read from there. But I want to read a couple of verses other than that, that just help out here. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water, that extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." And I also want to read from Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, which says, "He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers." So we have these scriptures that say that we are trees. We have others that call us oaks of righteousness. We have the root that goes down and gets watered by the stream. And it says that the fruit will never cease in Jeremiah. In Psalm, it says that the leaf will never wither. And it says that even when it's drought, there will be no anxiety. Even when there's economy that's down, or a government that says things that we don't agree with, we don't have to be anxious because of where our root is. But what is that root? Some people will say that it's God or Jesus. Some will say it's love. Some would say the Bible. And we have to, all of those are good. But we really need to look to see what is the root according to what the Bible tells us and where it says. So I do want to look at Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to explore the root today. So today's title, if you're taking notes, The Power of One Root. And I want to read to you from, you know what, I have a feeling that I actually want to read the entire chapter. So please bear with me as we read the entire chapter of Matthew 7. "Do not judge, so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruit. Fruits, it says there, sorry. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. Father, bless your word as it always is blessed, and bless the hearts that receive it today. May they receive it as seed, and may it come to fruition and leaf and everything that is necessary for us to make it in this world. May you be praised in all things. Amen. I want to talk to you today that if the root is good, then the fruit is good. This portion that I read reading all of the chapter 7 in Matthew, it is quite often broken up into pieces. It's almost like they're talking about different things. But if you look at it, it actually is all talking about the same thing. And it starts out, judge, do not judge or you will be judged. Then it goes into asking, seeking, and finding. And it says about good gifts and all these things. And then all of a sudden it says, it talks about entering into the gate and doing the proper thing and following after God, and it's narrow. But then it goes into the fruit that we recognize. And then it says, and we talk about that portion, and then we talk about all of a sudden we'll talk in a different sermon about not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, enter into they will not all enter in. And we separate the two. Not recognizing necessarily that the fruit that he's talking about in the beginning of this, that people will know them by their fruit, it's also related to the entering into the kingdom, the Lord, Lord part. And then it goes into the two foundations, the being built on the rock. And so this is, you look at a rock is the foundation. It's what is this built on? You could also look at it that it's the root of the tree. If the tree is good, it will bear good fruit. If it's rooted right, it will bear good fruit. And so what is what's going on back there? That's distracting me. I can imagine it's distracting everyone else. So please. Yes, thank you. If nothing else, we'll turn off the screens because that was distracting. Sorry. If the root is good, the fruit is good. The fruit indicates what the root is. But not all fruit is good, even the stuff that looks good. You see this in what Jesus says here. He says, not everyone who enters into or comes to me at the end of days and says, Lord, Lord, did we not do all this good stuff in your name? So they performed miracles. They did good. They were doing all these good things in Jesus' name. And he says, not everyone that does that will enter into the kingdom of God. But it's those who do his will. And then Jesus says, it's like a man who builds his house upon a rock. When they hear my voice and they do what I say. That's the will of God. That is the root. That is the rock we build upon. Jesus is, yes, he's referred to as the rock, as the cornerstone, but the foundation that he's talking about in this passage is hearing his words and doing what he says. So the root and the foundation is that. So there's two big questions that come out of this portion of Scripture. The first, who determines the goodness of the fruit? Because you see these things that are being done, they are prophesying in the name of Jesus, casting out demons in the name of Jesus, performing many miracles in the name of Jesus. We see that all over the world. But is the fruit good? It seems like it's good. So then who determines the goodness of the root? Wow. The real judge of fruit and root is God. Jesus, I heard. Yes. It's only between God and each individual. I want to take the time today to challenge your thought process a little bit. We have a tendency to follow people or unite with people who we determine have good fruit. The number of people following them, the number of people that were converted, the number of people that were healed, the size and or the success of the ministry. So, in light of Matthew 7, how do we determine if these are some of those that Jesus is talking about in verses 22 to 23? How do we determine that? That is a tough question. How do we determine if whoever is standing up here, whether it be me, Terrell, Jen, Murray, or anyone else, how do we determine that what they are doing is actually the will of God? How do I determine that in the end of time, God is not going to look at me and say, depart from me? Because when I judge what is being done up here, I feel it's the will of God. When I judge what other people are doing up here, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And what's it based on? Me. But I'm not to judge. I'm not to judge. What we read earlier today, we are to unite in what? One purpose. That's what we're to unite in. And that's the one root. The following, or hearing God and following what he says. We have no way of judging whether these people or ministries truly have the root of following God's will. I want to throw in a little bit except there that says through discernment, through the Holy Spirit. But that's a completely separate message. But there are times, and this is within the last 6 months, that I have preached a message up here. And on one hand, I have people coming to me saying, wow, you really heard from God on that, and you should continue preaching like that. And then I have on the other side someone come to me and say, wow, that was you really missed it there. Which one of the Spirit do I listen to? Because both of them, the people that I've heard from, are people who follow after the Holy Spirit. And so where do you go from this? I ask you that question because I'm really, this is tough. Because I have to judge myself. That's the only way I can do it. Lord, am I really hearing from you? Am I really doing what you have called me to do? And you know what? If I really wanted to be real with you, if I could choose any other occupation, I would. But woe is me if I do not do what God has called me to do. Yes, I will mess up. And yes, there will be times when what is preached up here is going to be me. But can you allow me that? Just asking a question. We need to leave the judgment to God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, work out your own salvation. If we were to follow, I honestly wish that I could have been a fly. Let me just rephrase that. Let me be a no-see-um at the Lake of Galilee in John 21 when Peter is walking with Jesus and John is following just a little bit behind. And John actually hears the words that Jesus says, or that Jesus says to Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? And Jesus says, yes, Lord, I do. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I do. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I do. And then Peter says to Jesus, what about John? And in verse 21, Peter is, of chapter 21, Peter asks that question. And in verse 22, Jesus tells Peter, don't worry about him, you follow me. Don't worry about the person that's sitting beside you in their walk. Worry about your own, is what Jesus said to Peter. Peter, the one he called rock. Peter, the one who he said was going to do so much for him. And Peter had a worry for the world. We need to work out our own salvation. We need to worry about ourselves. But people like to judge others on what they say and do. We all do it to some extent or another. I can almost guarantee that something that has happened today from the moment you woke up till 11:19, sometime along that, you have judged someone on what they said or did. Guaranteed. I don't know what it is. I don't know. But I also know that I've done the same thing. Why? Because that's what we do. We have a tendency to react to things based on our judgment. James 3, verse 1. Can you put that one up, please? James 3, verse 1. I should have warned you beforehand about all these things. Is it not working? No worries. Okay, there we go. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. Now, that shows you that teachers receive strict judgment from God. But it also says stricter. So that means that every one of us, what we say, and this can be proved through other places in the Scripture, of course, that what we say and what we do will be judged. But as teachers, anybody who teaches the Word of God will be judged in a stricter judgment. Must answer to God for all they say and do, and it gets stricter as you become further in the deliverance of that word. And then in James chapter 1, verse 22, it says that we should be doers of the word, not just hearers. So you look back to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, and the foundation, the root, is hearing and doing. hearing the Word of God, and I'm not talking about hearing what the preacher says and doing what the preacher says. Not saying that at all. I'm saying hearing the Word of God, hearing the Word of God in your prayers, hearing the Word of God, yes, in services sometime. But when you hear the Word, and then you do what it says, when you hear God's voice speaking to you, that is where we're going to be mostly judged. We're not going to be judged on how many people we get saved. We're not going to be judged on how many miracles we do. I'm not going to be judged on how many messages I've preached. All of these are good things. But at the end of time, I'm going to answer, have you heard my word, and did you do what it said? That's what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 7. And that's for every single person. You have to judge yourselves on this. When God speaks to you, what did you do with that? And then there's that whole question on when did you do it? Our pastor in Calgary, one of his sayings for his kids was, delayed obedience is still disobedience. Ouch. But that it rings true. Is it true in every situation? I don't know. But it does ring true. We need to follow God's timing too. He has something that you need to do, and it could be for the next hour or so here, or it could be something that you need to do this within a certain time frame. But there's something about going out and doing it, because that's what He calls us to do. We have enough to worry about in our own selves without having to look at others and what they do. And Jesus says it quite well when He says, do you see that speck in that guy's eye? Look in the mirror. See the log that's in yours. He's saying, you have enough to worry about in your own life than looking at someone else's. There is a better way. And it comes from the quote that I read last week that came from Dwayne Siemens out in Winnipeg, a good friend of mine, my life coach, etc. We are called to encourage and influence one another in our walks with God. We are called to be in unity in this encouraging and influencing. Each of us, every one of us, myself included, has no part in determining if the others are following the will of God and doing what God says. We really don't. Each of us only has a part in determining if we ourselves are following the will of God and doing what God says. If I have to look at myself, Lord, am I following what you said and am I doing all that? You have to do the same thing. I can't determine if you are. You can't determine if I am. However, my part in your walk is encouraging you and influencing you. Your part in my walk is encouraging me and influencing me to do those things, to follow after what God is wanting me to do. That's what I need to do for you. That's what you need to do for me. And I encourage you. You've all heard the thing, if you want to have friends, then be friendly, right? So if you are needing a friend, be friendly. If you are needing encouragement, be encouraging. If you are needing influencing, be an influencer. Be someone who will go up to someone and not complain about them, but encourage them. Invoke a desire to be more. That's what encouragement is. Influencing is showing someone else through your actions, through your attitude and everything that wow, I can definitely be better. But all too often, myself included, we fail. We would much rather complain And that's something that we all do. The Bible does not say anything about me being able to complain. I'm supposed to pray and encourage and influence. Can I say this? Don't wait for a phone call to be encouraged. Pick up the phone and encourage someone. Who knows? Who knows where that can take us? If every single one of us picked up the phone to encourage someone else instead of waiting for someone else to call us to encourage us, it'd be great. I know last week I talked about a little bit about myself and the preaching and, you know, people coming and saying, hey, whoo, good job, and I say thank you, etc., and it's uncomfortable for me and all that stuff. But you know what? There are days, not on Sundays. Sundays I get a lot of encouragement. There are a lot of days other than that that I long for that phone call. I long for it. Some days it happens. And I do pick up my phone and call others and try to encourage them. And I just encourage you, instead of waiting for a phone call from Pastor Corey, why not call Pastor Corey? He might be going through something bad. He might need that just to say, and not talking about the messages, but just saying, hey, I just was calling just to say hi. And you know what? Sometimes those are the most awkward of conversations. Do you know? You know what I'm saying? I've done it. I've called those ones, and it's like, I just called to say hi, and then it's like, okay, now what do we talk about? We've all had them. But at the same time, it really is the thought that all of a sudden it's like, huh, they were thinking about me. And I've honestly had a conversation, both myself on either end, that said, hi, I just wanted to let you know that I'm thinking about you and praying for you. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, okay, bye. What did that take? 5 seconds? 10 maybe? And yet there was, on my side, when I've received that phone call, I've been like, I like that. That was nice. And then usually those are the phone calls that I'll go home and I'll say, guess what? This person just called me today, and all they said was that they were thinking about me. And it's just it's a joy. So I'm just encouraging. I'm not asking you all to give me phone calls through the week. If God puts me on your heart, then do something about it. Whether that is a phone call or just a prayer, that's all I ask. Just like I tell people, I say, when God puts you on my heart, I will pray for you at that moment. Because there's a reason for it being there. And it might be that phone call. Because we could have all the phone calls in the world. I don't know why I'm laying on this right now. But we could have all the phone calls in the world, yet it not be the fruit. That's good. Because if you're just doing it out of duty, it's not necessarily God saying, hey, why don't you give them a call and encourage them right now? And so we have to be careful on those things, because the Bible says do all things to the glory of God, to His glory. What is His glory? His glory, He was just telling us, is us obeying Him when He tells us to do something. So if God puts you on my heart, I will call you. If God puts me on your heart, please call me or pray for me, however it works. If we truly walk our lives in this way, we will see differences. We will see probably more smiles. Not saying that you're not smiling on the inside, but I'm saying there's something about little things like that, little encouragements, that actually bring smiles to people's face. And it's just even if it's just a, and that little just slight difference in the face. Some days it brings the laughter, just thinking towards it. We do these things and we start to see that, and then all of a sudden you realize that we're all united in one purpose. There's a unity there. There's a purpose for our walk. There's an encouragement that comes on to the whole body, not just one part of it. So I encourage you that we purpose together to encourage and influence one another, to have that good root of hearing God's word and doing what it says. The power of one root. The root, the foundation of the rock, that is hearing what he says and doing it. In doing this, the root will be good. And therefore, so will the fruit. Amen? Amen. And everybody says, he's done already? Father, bless the root. And I pray, Lord, that the root will be strong, that there will be such power there, in that we all of a sudden tune ourselves even more and more to what the Spirit of God is saying in our hearts, and we will do what it says more and more. Lord, help us to be so ready to do your will that when even we take the wrong step, that we take that step back. That it be something that is in every aspect of our life. That we only do what you tell us to do. Lord, I think to the book that you put into my hands so many years ago, Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence, that it's something to just walk down the street and see a piece of straw on the ground and to pick it up knowing that I'm in the will of God. That it was God's will for me to pick that up, because I practiced the presence of God in such a mighty and powerful way. So Lord, help us all to be so much in your presence that we know that everything we do, every step we take, every piece of straw we pick up is in your will. And in doing that, Lord, that we develop our root and it goes deeper and deeper, so that when the trials come along, we know that we have no worries in that time of drought. We know that the fruit can still come out even when there is a drought. So Lord, bless our hearts today. Help us, encourage us, influence us in any way possible that we will walk the way that you have called us to do. And I pray that blessing upon each one that is here today and each one that is watching online. And may you be praised in all of it, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all richly. We'll see you next week. Go out, encourage and influence one another in the name of Jesus.